sunshine. Who in the nighttime? Who by high old deal? Who by common trial? Who in your merry, merry month of May? Who by very slow decay? And who shall I say?
Theatricum Botanicum returns this June 6th through October 4th with outdoor repertory theater, events, and educational programs for all ages. A Midsummer Night's Dream is back, alongside Romeo and Juliet, Treasure Island, Noel Coward's Waiting in the Wings, and Bernardo Cubría's dark and incisive new comedy, The People of Pompeii, set in the aftermath of the 2025 Palisades fire. Theatricum is located in Topanga Canyon, just off the 101 freeway, in the shade of the California live oaks. Explore and picnic in the gardens before the show. Further information available at www.theatricum.com and at kpfk.org.
Hello, this is Martin Sheen, and you're listening to KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara.
Cue the conga playing penguins.
Live at you.
For real, for real.
Oh, yeah.
The program's about to begin.
Oh, yeah, it's the Poetry Hour Power, KPFK 90.7 FM, 3 o'clock in sunny California. I'm Jeff Keller.
Simone, that's Jeffrey Cito, and I am Esteban Sewell. What's popping?
What's popping is me at the Comedy Chateau this weekend. That's what's popping.
You always popping at the Chateau.
I know, Jeffrey, people need to pop in. Say my name.
Don't know what time it is.
Yo, they really need to come see me. They don't even understand what I do on stage. They really don't.
I went and saw you, and I still don't understand what you do on stage, Jeffrey Cito. But I know it's a good time, man. People should go check it out.
That's right. You laugh. You get to laugh at stuff that you wouldn't normally laugh at, and you can look at other people and go, yeah, take that.
You laugh, you cry, and then someone lets the air out of your tires.
That's right.
No, that's right. No, nobody left the air out of my tires.
I know. It's hard to do that when you Uber in.
Exactly. Well, I was going to say because I had a walk. I had a hitchhike.
You're looking for a taxi. You can't find those no more.
Man, Jeffrey, it's been a crazy week.
Yeah, man. What's been going on?
You tell me, Jeff, because at this point, I'm just tuning out.
Oh.
I'm taking advice from Dr. Leary. They just, you know, drop a couple hits and tune out, man.
Man, they had Pam.
It's like I'm going back to the 60s.
Yeah, but they was protesting and marching. You had the hippies. You had the Black Panther Party.
Yep.
You had Malcolm X. You had the Chicago 7.
Yeah, you know, I say this a lot. Well, I don't really say it a lot on the air, but, you know, my dad was black. In the 70s.
He was?
In the 70s he was, yeah. He's like, we were all black in the 70s.
Facts.
It was a good time to be alive.
Yeah, 60s and 70s, man, they people were standing up.
That's right.
But now
nobody's doing that, man. I mean, yeah, we got our protests. We got our No Kings Day. But we're dealing with a different animal here. You talk about an authoritarian dictatorship, yep. a wannabe, a king. I mean, it's just, I'm surprised that there's not as much rebellion as I would have expected.
People are taking it, they're taking it too, people got soft.
People are getting soft, right? What do you think that what do you think the reason is for that, Jeffrey?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Tell me.
It was manufactured this way.
It was, you're saying
throughout time.
It's factory fabricated.
Yo.
A softness.
They knew after the 60s where there was almost revolt, a rebellion, an overthrowing of the government because people was tired of the Vietnam War and civil rights and how people were being treated, and they started coming together. So the FBI and the government said, how can we change this? And they started passing laws to separate us. Mm. They start having mores where you couldn't do certain things anymore. And they softened us.
Aren't you, was it like a commercial ad campaign? Aren't you tired of civil rights? They just get in your way of having fun.
Think about it.
Too many civil rights, too many rules.
Think about it. You used to have to drive and go pick up your food. You actually had to go order your food. You actually rode your bike. You were actually outside. You actually went through stuff. Nowadays, kids don't go through anything. Adults are too soft. You can't say anything anymore. They get their feelings hurt. And that's what happened. They don't have that drive and hunger like they did back in the 50s and 60s and 70s. They didn't have to overcome anything anymore.
Were you spanked as a child, Jeffrey?
Spanked? I was happy if I got spanked.
That was a good day?
That was a good day. I was dodging left and right hands. What you talking about?
There you go. Well, see, are you saying that is that what unsoftened or softened up this new generation, that there was no corporal punishment? Because now you're talking about violence and children.
I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about you used to have to go out. Like where I grew up, you had to figure out how to get home so you didn't get jumped. With gangs and that, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy. It's a lot, society is a lot nicer, but it has taken out a lot of the drive and hunger of people. They've gotten too soft of sitting at home and watching Netflix and ordering Uber Eats and not have to take any accountability anymore. We've gotten soft.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see it. I feel what you're saying. But I don't know. How do we undo it, Jeffrey? It seems like you have all the answers.
I wish I had all the answers. I have no answers. I'm just viewing society and reporting on it. That's all I'm doing. But you know who has the answers?
Who has the answers? Somebody. Somebody out there. But there's a band. Do we have to wake up the band?
Let's wake up the band.
Oh, man. Wake up, band. Come on.
Hey, band.
Where are they?
Can we get the band?
I don't know. I think they took care of CS.
Dude, they out there sleeping. Yeah, wake them up.
They're on a lunch break.
That's right.
Hail to Patricia, Patricia Guadalupe, Pocho correspondent from Washington, D.C. Hail to Patricia, she comes to spread the cheese. She comes with all the gossip, she's here to spill the tea.
That's who has all the answers, right there, Patricia Guadalupe.
I don't know, because I've been, Uber Eats and Uber Eating and, Netflixing and all of that fun stuff. But here I am, yeah.
There you are. You also report on society and what's going on.
Yeah, I do. And, of course, nothing is going on in D.C., of course. And, I was listening to what you were saying earlier. First of all, I want to say hello to all the listeners out there, especially if you sent a few of your little dollars during the fund drive. We all appreciate it. We wouldn't be here without you. But I think what you were saying about what people being too complacent and stuff, there's so much going on now that I think a lot of people are looking at this and going, now, well, hold on a minute. And a lot of folks have been, used to things, not having to sacrifice as much, not having to go through as many things. But there is that one person who made it okay to be, again, openly misogynistic, openly racist, openly homophobic, openly all of the bad things that a lot of our ancestors had to deal with, very openly.
And, of course, you're talking about Adam Carolla.
Oh, The one who's mad at Jimmy Kimmel for not taking him over to his show. Yeah, okay.
After the man show, he's like, no, we splitting up.
And so you see a lot of, you're seeing more and more pushback. Like today, a judge, and of course, because Congress has been missing in action for a long time, a judge today said that Trump had no right to add his name to the Kennedy Center. He also blocked the Kennedy Center from closing for 2 years like Trump wanted. And he said that Congress gave the name the Kennedy Center, wrote it down, and that only Congress can change it. And so they have 2 weeks to remove Donald Trump's name from the Kennedy Center. Of course, the people who are running the Kennedy Center now are all Trump folks, and they say that they're going to appeal that. But the judge has said, you know, from the very beginning, you had no right to just put your name on stuff just because you felt like it. But that hasn't stopped them, obviously. But that's at least some pushback. He also is blocking the $1.776 billion slush fund that the president wants to set up to basically pay his cronies, pay his friends, including all of those folks on January 6, 2021, who tried to take down the Capitol, tried to stop the election from being certified, and were tried and convicted, jailed, and all of them pardoned by Trump, including some folks who, after they left jail, went on to commit other crimes, including raping and, car thefts and everything.
Remind us, what is the name of that slush fund again?
It's the $1.776 billion slush fund. And if you're wondering, where did that come from?
Isn't it called the disarmament or something?
Yeah, it's called the, I can't, the name is escaping me right now, but it has at least a
because
number.
I just thought the title of the fund was like a little weird, especially if they're going to use it for,
The anti-weaponizing fund or something like that. But, so, of course, the number is specific to, of course, 1776, which is when the country was founded. And, of course, that means 250 years later, right around the corner, is July 4th, 2026. And the president has already started all kinds of stuff to bring a lot of activity around the 4th of July here, including a cage fight, one of those worldwide wrestling matches on the South Lawn of the White House on June 14th, which is Flag Day and also his birthday. And then leading up to that, what they're calling the Great American Fair, where he was going to bring a bunch of artists. And this is what the funny thing is, that, you know, people like Morris Day and The Time and Martina McBride, Young MC, a bunch of those folks, they were on the list. Mm-hmm. And Morris Day apparently got visited by the ghost of Prince, who told him, no, I don't think so. And so he said, you know what? No one ever told me. They didn't put me on this. I never agreed to this. Martina McBride, who's a country singer, said, I was going to participate because it was supposed to be a celebration of the country's anniversary, and it turned into this political thing. I want nothing to do with it. Young MC is saying the same thing. And now it's turned into this gigantic joke where the one surviving performer of Milli Vanilli, and if you remember who they were the ones in the 90s who were accused of lip syncing. Now everybody does that. But and maybe Kid Rock, he wasn't on the original list. But this was supposed to be like some big, like a county fair right on the National Mall, right around the White House, a bunch of artists, including what a lot of people would say would be one-hit wonders, said, we're not participating. And so all of the MAGA folks got on social media And this is how ignorant some of these people are. Martina McBride wrote and sang a song called Independence Day. It's about domestic abuse, about a woman who killed her husband by setting their house on fire, and that she became independent by doing that, by leaving that relationship. So some people, these Trumpies on social media said, how could somebody who wrote a song called Independence Day not participate in this thing? This is how dumb some of these people are. Yeah.
And she didn't even have to dress up as a Native American.
Well, you know, the other crazy part is with the Milli Vanilli, it wasn't neither Milli or Vanilli, because one of them are no longer here. It was the backup singers who were going to perform, who and did the voices. And the Commodores also said, no, we about peace and bringing people together, so we're not doing that.
Right, and a lot of people don't realize that the Boston Tea Party, when they dressed up like Native Americans and threw all that tea in the harbor, that was like really started America's favorite pastime, which is scapegoating minorities.
Well, yeah, exactly. And the other thing is that people don't understand is one of the reasons that we fought that war was that the British were going to end slavery. And they wanted the colonies to end slavery. And the colonies were made to say, hey, we're making too much money off this. We're not doing it. Mm-hmm. And they never talk about that. Was one of the other reasons that
Exactly. And that's the same reason for the Mexican-American War, you know, that and in fact, the British had told a lot of enslaved people here, come to our side. Yep. And that's why you find many descendants, black British folks in the former colonies of Britain and including in the UK, because a lot of their ancestors went over to their side during the War of Independence and said, well, even if we lose, at least we're going to be free.
Yep.
So, you know, that's something that very rarely, that if anybody talks about it in school, it's very rare that they do. But you have to realize that, yes, that is true. And so you have a lot of this misinformation out there with why they fought for independence in the first place. It wasn't just taxation without representation. It was way more than that. And why, you know, somebody like Martina McBride can write a song called Independence Day and people think it's about the 4th of July when it's not. The level of ignorance is just unbelievable, because you have the former plumber who's now the DHS secretary, Mark McWayne Mullen, saying that he's going to stop international flights processing in these so-called sanctuary cities, including Los Angeles, including San Francisco, including New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, LA, DC, Baltimore, Dulles Airport, which is in Virginia, and Seattle, a few other places, because he says all of these cities give sanctuary to immigrants. Now, think about this. Think about the stupidity of this. People who are coming here on international flights, what do they have to do with how the particular cities that they're landing in with immigration? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. You know what it's really about? You know what it's really about?
Well, we know. Yeah.
He's trying to stop future plumbers from coming into the country.
No. No. It's because that we have the Olympics coming.
To LA. And FIFA. And the World Cup.
You're right. And so they're thinking they will hurt the attendance by doing that.
Oh yeah. And you know there is a gigantic Iranian American population in the Los Angeles area. Well, guess where the Iranian team is practicing for the World Cup? Not in the US. They're doing it in Mexico, because the White House told the team, we don't want you here. Even though politically the team has nothing to do with anything, Mexico said, all right, come over here and practice here. And already they're talking about the tickets are not
too high.
Incredibly expensive. A lot of them are not being sold. And a lot of people are not coming because they don't want to deal with this kind of nonsense of, when I land in a so-called sanctuary city, they're not going to process me because I landed in L.A., which is just absolutely ridiculous.
And say what you will about the Iranian government, but But Iranian nationals and those common people from Iran, they're some of the nicest people you're ever going to meet. They're so
cool. Yeah. And you know, and I want the relations to go back to being nice and normal, because those pistachios from Iran are really good, you know, and you're absolutely right about the people. And a lot of them, when I look at them and say, man, they look like my cousins. They look all exactly. like Latinos, you know. But this is the type of government that we're dealing with here, is the ridiculousness, pettiness, where the you know, airlines are up in arms about this. Even the transportation secretary, Sean Duffy, who is no, you know, he is no PhD in intelligence on any of this. He said this is not a good idea. So at least he was polite about it. But apparently this has caused a lot of internal turmoil in the White House, because you have the DHS secretary saying, I'm going to pull the TSA people and everybody else from those sanctuary cities, and they're going to help me control immigration and protest. Because if you've been following some of the news, there is a really big protest going on right outside of the detention center in New Jersey, where people are being held in these horrific conditions. And they're not letting the members of Congress come in and talk to them, which is against the law, actually. And that has caused a lot of problems for folks, including a lot of people who their families are saying, you know, my husband went over to get a regular immigration appointment, and they arrested him, and I don't know what's going on. This is still happening. So even though it's not in the news, even though you think, oh, everything kind of calmed down, it's not happening in L.A., it's not happening in Minneapolis, it's still going on. They're still doing these raids. They're not as...
Is it because of, fatigue on journalism? Because, like, it's happening so often, and it's been reported before. Right.
Yeah, and plus there's so much going on that it's almost hard to keep up. I mean, look at Trump wants to have his face on a new $250 bill. and the only reason was the 250th anniversary. But there is a law that says no living person can be on any U.S. currency. And you have the Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, saying, well, you know, the plans are in place just in case Congress changes their mind, but we might do a commemorative one. You know, this is the kind of ridiculousness that goes on every single
day. And how much
day.
Is he going to pay for that ballroom?
Well, and here's the thing. You know, the president wants to show up at Madison Square Garden for the first game of the NBA championship, whoever the Knicks end up playing with. And so people are saying, well, okay, if you want to go to Madison Square Garden and you're saying that it's not safe to be anywhere, how is it that you're going to go watch a basketball game? Are we going to have to turn Madison Square Garden into a ballroom, you know?
Yeah, and you're dropping out. Patricia, we're going to have to... Cut it short today. We have such a loaded roster of guests for today. But
what do you got? What do we got to look forward to next
also,
week?
Yeah, before we go, I would like to say that I can save a bunch of money for the American taxpayer, because if he wants his ballroom, he can just buy a pair of parachute pants.
well, for next week, I'm here.
We are.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Out. Pocha Hour Power, 90.7 FM. You're listening live on the air with Jeff Keller and me, Esteban Sul. And right now we have a guest sitting down with us live in the studio. Hello.
Hello.
We got Gabriella Crowe.
Yes.
Gabriella Crowe, how are you?
Thank you. Hi.
How you been?
High
how
five.
You doing?
How you doing?
Yes.
Very nice
and
to meet you.
You got a festival going on.
I do. I have a show coming on next Saturday, June 6th, in Burbank at the Argentine Association of Los Angeles. The show is called Fiesta Mexicana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what's that all about?
Well, I'm producing this show. It's in the Argentine community, but they're opening up their doors. It's a great little venue, and they want to invite all of the Latino community. So any kind of if you're Salvadorian, if you're Mexican, if you're Peruvian, if you're Ecuadorian, wherever. You know, they're opening their doors to everybody. And we're going to do a Mexican show. So we're going to have folklorico, we're going to have mariachi, we're going to have mariachi singers, including myself.
Look at you. Now, this is the important, though. This is the important thing. What kind of food?
Well, they are Argentine, so that was a little bit of a negotiation, but they're going to do. Yeah, they didn't want to let go of some of their things, but we are going to have some tacos. Uh-huh. Of course. We're going to have some drinks. We're going to have empanadas and pizza. It's a strange mix. And sandwiches amiga, which are little sandwiches that you drink with your tea if you're English. But the Argentine took that.
That's amazing. And now, what are some names of some of the groups that are going to be at the festival?
Yeah, the Mariachi Estrellas de Mexico are going to be there. They are excellent. Mm-hmm. And the Norberto Rodriguez, who is he's from Chihuahua. And he's an amazing singer, and he's going to be singing half of the show. And we have a wonderful folklorico dance group called Ballet Bravo. And everybody lives here in L.A., but we're all Mexican-based.
No, I love it. Now, do you have some music for us?
Yeah, that would be nice. Uh-huh. Norberto Rodriguez, he has a great hit called La Faltona.
Uh-huh.
And he's got quite a few hits on that. I'm not sure. He's on iTunes. He's on Spotify. He's on Amazon Music. This would be a good example.
And so he's going to be on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what day is the show?
It's going to be next Saturday, the June 6th. They open the doors at 7:30. They'll let people in. You can eat. You can peruse. You can have conversation. 8:30 is when the show starts.
Uh-huh. And where's it going to be at?
It's going to be at the Argentine Association of Los Angeles in Burbank. The address is 2100 North Glen Oaks Boulevard in Burbank, California, 91504.
All right. This is him right here, right?
Yes.
And you guys have a website?
No, there's a few Norberto Rodriguez's.
That's not it?
Yeah, La Falcon. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's all right.
That's all right. That's all right.
So you guys have a website?
We don't. We're doing it old school. They can call 818-430-0379. And they can call for information. And it's going to be a one-time show. If things go really well, we'll talk about bigger venues and more performers and more mariachi groups. So our intention is to grow.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And now give the people the date, time, and we're at again.
Yes. The date is Saturday, June 6th. They open the doors at 7:30. Show starts at 8:30. And the address is 2100 North Glen Oaks Boulevard in Burbank, California, 91504. And you can call 818-430-0379.
There you go, Gabriella Crow. Thank you for being on the Pocho Hour of Power.
Simon,
we'll be right back with more Pachismo.
Orale. Take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey, honey, take a walk on the wild side.
This is Donna Walker, host of Pacifica Performance Showcase here on KPFK. I'd like to thank all of our listeners for tuning in, and especially thank those of you who pledged your support or renewed your membership to KPFK during this past fund drive. The support of generous listeners like you is what allows this listener-sponsored station to operate and to maintain its fierce independence. It's a very special relationship, so thank you once again for being a part of it.
Hi, this is Lonnie Jordan from the band War, and you're listening to the Pocho Hour of Power.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, it's the Poetry Hour Power, KPFK 90.7 FM.
Yeah, Jeff, every time that music comes on, you start twerking, and I know that our listener sponsor dollars are going in the right place when they pay for your twerking lessons, because you are improving 100%, my man.
Am I getting better?
You're getting so much better that just the walls are sweating.
Holes are sweating.
Yeah.
No, I love it, man. I love it. I love it. Oh, yes. And next, we got our next guest, Elsie. What's going on?
Elsie Fernandez, what's happening?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing marvelous. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm really great. I'm really excited. We're having our film premiering today at La Leaf. So, really looking forward to it.
And what's the name of the film?
It's called Exodus Stories, and it's a film, it's a documentary film, 7 years in the making, where I follow immigrants that are traveling from Central America and coming to the United States with the migrant caravan seeking asylum. And so one of the things that I do is I didn't want to just tell the story of getting to the border. I wanted to see what happens once they cross that border and come into the United States.
Wow. And how long did it take you to do this documentary?
Well, it's about 7 years in the making, but I filmed over the course of really 5 years because I wanted one of the stories to completely end, and that's how long really some of the immigration stories are taking, because asylum seekers are put through a lot, and it takes many years for them to, you know, to actually be able to get any kind of legal status or bring their families.
So you're following the stories of several different immigration stories, right? So how many stories are threaded through this film?
There's three stories. There's basically three families. Two of them are from Honduras. Two of them are two women from Honduras that are traveling with their children. And then there's a gentleman from Nicaragua who is basically, he's a student. You know, actually, I guess what I could say is that this isn't just a story of immigrants. It's actually really stories of families that are going through different things. And so one of them is a student activist who is from Nicaragua, and he stands up and protests against what was happening in Nicaragua in 2018. As a result of that, then he's targeted and he has to leave the country, leaving behind his pregnant wife. And so he comes to the United States, and one of the things that happens to him is that he's actually put in a detention center for 8 months. And so he's, you know, during that time, his daughter is born, and he has to kind of contend with not being able to support his family. You know, these are like the real human stories behind immigration. Another one of the stories is a mother-daughter story where it's one of our characters, Daisy, was a teen mom, and her, you know, she had to give her daughter up to her parents to raise, like many Latino families often have to, especially in Central America. And, you know, as a result of that, her daughter feels that she's been abandoned. And when Daisy's brother is kidnapped, and he unfortunately is killed. And when she's facing new threats, she decides that, you know, she wants to leave with these caravans, and she decides to reclaim her daughter. So it's really this mother-daughter story of her trying to make amends with her daughter as they're traveling 2,900 miles to the U.S. border.
Wow. That sounds really heavy and compelling.
It is, but it's also, you know what it is? It's about the resilience of immigrants. It's about facing all these different challenges and having all these different setbacks, but still finding a way to smile and to find love and to find, you know, comfort and family and community. And so I think that at the end of the day, the film is really about, like, in terms of, like, what, you know, at first I also went in with a very, like, oh, my God, this is so hard and it's sad. But I was really, you know, these immigrants have really been the inspiration for me. They're the ones that have pulled me up during difficult times, and they know the difficult times, and they face everything with really a lot of optimism and hope, and they're really like the immigrant spirit is the fire that fuels our country.
Yeah, I mean, when you go through these kinds of hardships, and it's so common with a lot of immigrants that have to go through things like this, a lot of times, you know, you talk about generational trauma, or you talk about how people come from these hardships. I mean, the only thing you can do is laugh or find some kind of positivity out of every hardship that's coming your way, you know. And you'd be surprised how I mean, in my family, there were a lot of people who went through so many things, but also had to laugh to keep from crying. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why we have great music and great films and great, you know, and a great community. And it's also, you know, what was really interesting to me that really resonates, I think, with our community is it was also their faith, you know, their faith that there was something, a higher power, or that there was something that was like keeping them safe.
Do we have the sports
and keeping
minute?
Them going? So yeah. That was a lot of their motivation, too.
Wow. Yeah. And so, in your story and how you tell it, do you actually follow the story strictly from the United States, or do you have any part of their immigration or how they arrived, or go back and tell that part of it?
Well, actually, that's what was really interesting. I don't know if you ever remember a film called El Norte by Gregory Nava. One of the things that really struck me about that film is that it's a fictional film, but it basically follows the journey of, you know, these immigrants to the border and then what happens once in the United States. So I was really fascinated by that idea. Mm-hmm. So really it's what happens on both sides of the border. So I do actually travel with them through Mexico. I picked them up like a little bit south of Puebla, and I travel through Puebla, Mexico City, and you know, doing the route that the migrants take. We even, you know, jump on La Bestia. And we follow them to the border, and then we see what, you know, what ensues at the border, what happens when people are trying to claim asylum, which is legal for or was legal at the time, you know, that's been dismantled or it's being dismantled now.
Right.
And we see what happens once they're in the United States and the constant challenges that they face. But there's a lot of determination and there's a lot of resilience, and these are people who work really hard to, you know, to get their families like out of the situations that they've been in, so that they can make a better life and have a second chance at life for themselves.
Right. So, Ilse, your film is going to be at La Leaf, right? Tell us about where people can actually go see it on the screen and support the film and.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to be premiering tonight at 6:45 at the TCL Chinese Theater, which is in Hollywood. It's like the former man's Chinese Theater, third floor. And it's part of La Leaf, which this is a really special year for La Leaf. La Leaf, if people don't know, is the Los Angeles International Film Festival, and it takes place every year around this time. It's the 25th edition, so it was a festival that was created by Edward James Olmos, and he actually just did, a couple of nights ago, he did an amazing and beautiful tribute to our community and honored J-Lo with the Adelante Award, and so she was there, and it's, you know, it's a really exciting time because there's some incredible filmmakers. This is my first feature film, but I've been, you know, in the industry for the past 25 years working in documentaries. But, you know, I've just seen so much incredible talent that comes from our community. So it would be a great way to support. The festival's taking place, I think, through Sunday. So come on out and see incredible talents from our community.
So if someone wants to support your film and also support the other international films that are at La Leaf, they do have a website, right? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, okay, there's a couple ways. Well, first try our Instagram, which is just Exodus Stories, all one word. And then the website it's just www.exodus-stories, or Exodus Stories, all one word, .com. And you can find out more about the film. The film will eventually be on PBS, probably like next year. And, you know, one thing that for us too, you know, we would never have not made this film if it wasn't for the incredible support of Latino Public Broadcasting, who were unbelievable in supporting our efforts to do this film.
That's beautiful. And just for people who know, it's on Hollywood and Highland.
Yeah.
So, yeah, come on out, support the festival. I've been to a couple of them. They're great. It's beautiful. It's great to network. They had Osmo. How you say his last name?
Almost. Come on, James.
And
Tony Planter. And he's there,
every day. Yeah, him and Tony Planter, they actually took a picture together
to support. Not Edward James Almost.
Hold on, let me just finish, man. to support Zoot Suit. So they did a whole thing, reunion for Zoot Suit. So that was awesome. All right, well,
amazing.
Thank you. Thank you for being on the Poultry Hour Power.
Ilse Fernandez, make sure you check out her movie, Exodus Stories. It's going to be at Law Leaf tomorrow and coming soon
tonight,
to PBS.
Tonight.
Oh, tonight. I'm sorry, Ilse. Tonight and also coming to PBS soon, right?
Yeah, 6:45 tonight. Yeah. So
6:45 tonight.
It's almost sold out. 3 hours. But yeah.
Man, much luck. Buena suerte. And very good to talk to you again, Ilse.
Muchísimas gracias. Un abrazo. Cuídense mucho.
All right.
Thank you.
I just blanked on Edward James Olmos.
Anyway, you're listening to the Poultry Hour Power, and we are still on the air. I don't know how that is, but it is.
Somehow it happens.
Somehow. No one's coming here with the big hook like they do with the Apollo.
Oh, they will.
And yanked us out of the studio.
And speaking of the Apollo, we have a couple comedians here. We have Jalen Bishop and Stacey Lynn Fletcher.
Hey,
what's up?
Thank you for having us.
I thought
us.
You were about to talk about the time I got booed off the Apollo when you said speaking of the Apollo. You better not, Jeff.
I wasn't going to put your business on the street.
Good, I'm glad you did.
You just did.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I didn't. I didn't tell it all.
But most of it.
I didn't tell
crazy.
It all.
I got to hear that story, though. So you guys here to promote? We got Home by Nine next Friday. What's going on?
Hey, and you're on the show, Jeff.
I am on the show. It's going to be an amazing show.
Have your listeners? Is it have or has your listeners?
I don't think they care.
Okay, have they seen you perform?
Some have, some haven't. I mean,
like, do your family stuff? I know they know you're political, but do they know how interesting your family background is?
Well, you know,
after that pain,
they're gonna have to come to the show next Friday and find out,
right?
Yes, come to the show on Friday. We're gonna be at the Ice House, in Pasadena. It will be a Friday show. Normally, our show is a Saturday show. It's Home by Nine, comedy. Home by Nine. I always mess it up. Never mind.
Jalen don't know. She's a producer, but she don't know.
I never know.
So it's okay.
Why is it called Home by Nine? Because it's an early show?
Yes. You are so smart.
Because everybody wants to be home by nine.
Yay.
Because, you know, if you're out in the streets after nine, there's nothing but just havoc. There's nothing but havoc.
Bad decisions, regret, all of that.
Yes. So
nine.
You got to get in and out. And this is for everybody that wants to be home by nine. We have Jeff
now.
On the show. We also have Carla Collins on the show. We have Speedy on the show. Stacy's on the show. I will not be on the show because I'm be on.
Where
the
you
ship.
Going?
I'm gonna be on the ship.
Oh yeah, just, you don't know. Jalen does.
I'm the chocolate covered mermaid,
on,
baby.
On cruises.
I'm the chocolate covered mermaid.
She out there slinging jokes to the peoples on sea.
On the sea.
On the seas.
What's your best tuna? Jalen on the sea.
He called you tuna fish.
Tuna fish. Ew. At least let me be a good fish. Like, if you're going to be, like, you don't want to be a tuna. If you're going to be a fish on the sea, you want to be a good fish.
What
like,
fish?
I want to be a mermaid.
There you go. But they got mad when we had a black mermaid.
Yeah, because maybe she wasn't black enough.
You're blacky
wait,
black.
Wait, hold on.
Oh, yeah.
What is black enough? What do you mean black enough?
I know. She black.
If you're going to be a mermaid, uh-huh. And you're going to be a black mermaid, uh-huh. You got to come up like your tail got to be slapping and clapping, you know? You have to have a big old bootay so when you hit the water, it goes pow.
You got to have a big old fish tail.
Oh, yeah. Fish tail. Pow. It got to hit hard. Uh-huh. It's got to be, you know.
And so that is how you identifying yourself as the black mermaid?
Yeah. And I'm going to have like mermaid hair. Well, I have a fro, so it will be like water resistant. You know, so yeah.
That's crazy.
That's the kind of mermaid I'm gonna be.
Okay.
But Lindsay, both these ladies are very funny. They are hilarious. Even though one got booed off to Apollo, I'm sure she just wasn't ethnic enough for them.
No.
See, that's what I'm saying. If you're not black enough, you get booed.
But I got booed, but okay, so the people listening now, they know they're hearing me say it. But it didn't air.
I know, but why'd you get booed?
Okay, I'm going to tell you. Let me set it up. Let me set it up for you.
This don't sound...
Do you know this story?
No, it's the first I've heard of it. I wasn't going to tell mine.
At the time, the biggest or one of the hottest R&B groups was a group called Portrait, right?
Yeah.
And Portrait was the musical guest.
Right.
So they introduced Portrait.
Right.
Come to the stage, Portrait. And Portrait's like little set dressing was... picture frames.
Right.
One of the frames fell.
Okay.
And so they was trying to fix it. And they was like, well, send the comic out. Send the comic out.
Right.
I'd only been doing comedy about 6 months. First of all, I had no business being in the first place. They sent me out. They was like, come to the stage. Portrait. No. It's the comic, Stacy. So they already wasn't ready for me.
Right.
Mm.
And so then I was scared. I did my 7-minute set in like a minute because I was like, I'd be doggone if Sandman come out on me.
Right.
Because I was a paid performer.
Right.
Yeah.
I wasn't letting Sandman come out. He didn't.
I didn't come out. I didn't know we both got booed on the Apollo.
You got booed on Apollo?
Yeah.
Too?
But see, my story is different.
Right.
I was it was crazy, because I was, again, one of the paid performers.
Right.
My grandmother from the DR had come.
Right.
Now, she doesn't really speak English very well, so that really wasn't the greatest person to have at the Apollo.
Right.
When she came in, she came with my sister. So, as Steve Harvey says, are you guys ready for one of Brooklyn's own? Let's get this started. Jalen Bishop. I walked to the... I was so nervous that I forget to touch the rock. So I kind of like glazed it.
Right.
My grandmother thought that they had been ooing people.
Ooing.
Ooing.
Ooh.
So she jumped up and started ooing. And you know that old black lady that used to boo everybody?
Right.
She was like, oh, that's cold. Ooh. So the whole place booed me super quick.
Grandma started it.
And my grandma was in the mix with a whole Dominican outfit. Like, ooh-wee, ooh-wee, ooh-wee. They were booing me so bad. Steve Harvey came back out and he said, she didn't even touch the mic.
Right.
How did you guys boo her like that? And he said, come here, baby. You ain't got to go nowhere. He was like, they going to let you do your stuff. I said, that's my grandmother. He was like, your grandma boo you.
She let the
But that
door.
Had to be hilarious.
That door was hilarious. That's the only part of my set that they ever aired. Your grandma booed you? I was like, man.
At least I got booed by strangers.
Man. I was also the person that, remember on Comic View, when somebody came out the door and fell out?
Uh-huh.
That was me. For 2.5 years.
They came out the door.
Hilarious.
They fell out the door. And then every time somebody bombed, you would just see somebody go, blat, blat, blat. That Wait, was me.
That was before
like
us.
The original meme or something?
I was the original meme. My pants,
back in the day.
My pant got stuck on the stair.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I was trying to get it out. And the guy was like, go out the door, go out the door. I was like, blam, blam.
Season,
that's all you see.
What season of Comic View did you do?
I didn't do any. I just fell out.
Oh, you were just there.
I fell out the door. I never.
What were you there for?
I never performed. I literally fell out the door.
Jeff and I were on the first season. I was on the very first episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I was on every season after when somebody got booed. That's me. That the splat. You don't see nothing but the hands and the splat. The hands and the splat.
Man.
I'm the hands and splat.
Yeah, no, I did the first season. I had been doing comedy like 6 months.
Me too.
And I finally got, you know, when you did the comedy act, you always wanted to get on the second show, right?
Yes, yes.
And they got me on the second show, and right when they got ready to bring me up, DL goes, oh, yeah, if I bring up this comic, first time on the second show, I just want you to know they're giving parking tickets to people outside. So if you parked outside, you may want to go move your car. Now I'm coming to the stage, Jeff Keller, and all I hear is,
well, at least you want the splat. I mean, I was the splat. It was the worst. I was the splat for 2 years.
Comics can do each other wrong. Like, that was messed up for DL to do that to Jeff his first time on the second show, because that was a big deal. I remember being in L.A., back in Chicago, and they were bringing Def Comedy Jam back. Uh-huh. And I had an audition. I won't say the comic's name. I had an audition. He was hosting. We didn't know each other. So this is how he brought me up. The next MF coming to the stage, I don't know who she is. I guess she funny. We'll see. Come on, Stacy. Of course, I bombed. Oh. Of course, that was. But I ain't bombing Friday, y'all. Don't get the wrong idea. This was early.
She means next Friday.
Yeah.
We did a whole lot of bomb stories. People going to think we're not good, Well, they're going to think y'all ain't good. They know that I'm good. I just never make it to the stage.
You have to fail in order to learn your craft.
Is bombing really failing, though?
No.
I don't know.
It's getting up there.
President Trump.
There ain't no stand-up who ever just hit from the first time they hit the stage.
And those are stories from the early days, too.
It doesn't happen.
Now, Friday's show is going to be fire. It really is. It's a variety of comics, too. Like, Jeff does his thing. Carla just got back from touring Canada. I think if Carla and Jalen were on the show together, I don't know if you'd be able to handle it, because they both have, like... A lot of energy.
Right.
A lot. And Speedy.
Except for Carla's white. That's the difference.
Jalen got perturbed on that there.
Like,
look at her.
Carla and Jalen, they probably look at the same person.
I didn't say the same person. I said energy.
No, but.
Get your panties out a bunch, Jalen.
Oh, damn.
She did put a hard W on that white.
We're having a cat fight on the Pocho Hour of Power.
It was a hard T.
White. we've got the whites, we've got the blacks, we've got the half whites, and we got Stacy.
Oh, damn.
Is your mama coming?
You know what?
No. Is your grandmother coming?
Can you call the authorities? Because Stacy might need somebody to help her go. I think this show is the greatest thing about this show is no matter what type of comedy you like, we have got you covered. We got you covered. The food is delicious at the Ice House. You're going to have a great time. Stacy is an amazing host. You'll have so much fun.
And a great comic, too.
Yeah, you never know.
Don't forget that part.
You never know what kind of just shenanigans are going to go on at our show. We always have a good time at the show. It's gonna be fun.
And you can get your tickets at icehousecomedy.com.
Yeah, and don't be scared with the ice.
Icehousecomedy.com.
That's right, people. Yes.
See, homegirl knows how to promote.
Yeah. That's right.
Icehousecomedy.com.
Yeah, but she's got to say, don't be afraid of the ice because. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Our people may come up with the jingle.
Our people might think it's a setup.
Yeah, that's right. My people ain't coming. They be like, nah, I ain't going back to the DR.
Nah, we
got to
laugh through this mess. We gotta laugh.
Especially if you're in the San Gabriel Valley. I know a lot of my people out in San Gabriel Valley don't like coming out to North Hollywood. So, hey, here's a perfect time to come out to Pasadena. So, you know, get your tickets. Go to the Ice House website for next Friday, 7:30. You know, get your tickets. Come out and support. Because I'm telling you what, this is going to be one of the funniest shows you'll see all year. I'm telling you, hey, if you like Kevin Hart, and that roast, let me tell you something. When you see Jalen, when you see Stacy roast, hey, they ain't got nothing on them.
Hey, Stacy just roasted me a few minutes ago.
Hey, Jake, what? You want to give some tickets away?
I think we should.
We can give two tickets away.
I give out one pair of tickets or two pair.
What do you mean?
Mean like two or four?
Oh, two.
Okay. So, yeah, if you call 818-985-5735.
Is that your phone
number? 818-985-5735.
Whose phone number is that? Is that your home phone number?
818-985-KPFK.
Yeah.
In case you get the numbers mixed up.
Yeah.
818-985-5735.
You said that so smooth, like that was your home phone number.
I know, because I do it all the time, because he always forgets.
818.
I don't even know why I even looked at him, because he don't know the goddamn number.
He knows the call numbers behind it. That's all you need to know.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But we give out one pair of tickets. So one pair of tickets,
one pair of tickets, which means don't call up and say, can me, my mom, my grandma, and my friend come? No,
they can come. They got to buy them tickets, though.
Yeah, because two of y'all getting
it. Everybody can show up. We only giving away two free tickets.
Two people, only two. This is a very rare occasion. You only get two.
Yes, it's rare. It's rare.
This does not happen.
This never happens.
Never on this show.
Never do we give away anything. I can tell by the decor here that you guys never give away anything.
We've never given tickets to Earth, Wind, and Fire.
This studio is a beautiful. I mean, I don't think I've ever been in another.
It is.
I mean, it's stunning.
Lovely.
It's stunning.
We've never given tickets to the emotions.
Never.
We've never given tickets to the Commodores.
Why would you?
We've never given tickets.
They ain't got nothing on us.
To
name dropping.
Dick Gregory.
Name dropping.
We've never given tickets.
Them folks ain't got nothing on us.
Why would you?
And half the furniture, office furniture you see in here, we pulled in off the street. So, just so you know.
I would not have known it.
Nothing but
actually,
the best.
Actually, we got this out of Zoo's house. He's giving it away.
I got evicted. So yeah,
well, you know what? If you guys wait a couple more weeks, you'll be able to get some out of the White House because you know they're going to give all that furniture away that they're going to do from the cage match.
Oh, they're doing that cage match.
Nothing says hillbilly. Like, welcome to the White House. We're doing a cage match for the 200th year.
That sounds like a Chris Rock line. Welcome to the cage match.
It's a cage match. Have you seen it?
They are literally
building a cage match on the front lawn.
When Joe Rogan says, what the heck are they doing? Well, you know they messing up.
Well, it's like a big old chicken coop for humans or something, right?
Yes.
That's what they do.
We might as well just have a cockfight out there.
It's a distraction.
It actually is.
Oh, Jeff.
Yeah. Oh, Jeff.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. I don't understand what's happening.
It's a distraction because did you see the video of him, of your president, walking behind the pillar to take a poop? Yeah, so as long as the... the cage fight is going on, no one will notice when he has to poop in his pants.
Oh, this whole thing is just out of control, man.
So we know that when you come to the show, you will not see a cage match, for sure.
No one will be pooping.
At the ice house.
Okay. No one will be pooping.
No, because they have lovely bathrooms.
They do.
Yeah.
Food is great. Lovely bathrooms. No one's getting arrested.
Comedy is top tier.
Top tier.
It's called homebynine.com.
If you get sleepy at 9, it's a good place to go.
Yeah.
Some people are night owls. Some people want to get in bed by 9, 10. So there you have it.
Oh, somebody won. Stacey.
Oh, they come in. Yes.
Joey Nance won. We can't wait to see you.
Cannot wait to see you. We hope that you bring whomever is special to you or whoever you don't like. It doesn't matter who you bring. As long as we see you, make sure you come up to Stacey and say howdy. Make sure you come up to Jeff and say howdy. Make sure you send me a video. You can send me a video to Jaylen Bishop, and that's J-A-Y. L-Y-N, Bishop, like the church, except for I don't touch the children.
And you can send it to me at My Mom's White. And, Nick, it's not My Mom is White, like some of y'all try to do. It's My Mom's White. Let's get it right.
Mm-hmm. And I am Stacy with an I, Stacy Lynn Fletcher. But who's the winner? We'll get in touch and tell you how to claim
Joey
those
Nance.
We'll get in touch and let you know how to claim those tickets. Yeah.
Actually, she can go to our website.
We will get in touch.
Stacy, you know what?
Stacy fired up. Hey, yeah. You know what he was? I introduced her to Johnny Gill the other night, and she hasn't been the same.
No, let me tell you what happened.
You see, I got on my red dress.
Let me tell you what happened to Stacy, because Stacy did tell me the reason why she was acting that. Stacy, go tell him what happened at the party.
Remember that girl that kept telling me I look like her Aunt Nancy?
Uh-huh.
And I went to look at her Aunt Nancy.
Uh-huh.
She showed me a picture of an 80-year-old woman.
Oh, my.
All right. Well, hey, we got to wrap it up. So one more time, where can I get tickets?
IceHouseComedy.com. Name of the show is Home by Nine Comedy, and it's Friday, a week from today at 7:30 p.m. The show starts on time, y'all. It starts on time.
All right. I'd like to thank Patricia Guadalupe and who else?
Ilse Fernandez, of course. And
Gabriella Crow.
And let's also thank Jeffrey Keller right here. Jeffreycito.
I want to thank you, Zoo.
Orale.
I want to thank Stacy and Jalen.
Thank you for having us here.
Coming in. It's been nice chilling with you.
I want to thank Gary Boggs for producing this. I want to thank my boy, Wizard of Ozzy.
Yo.
Ozzy. And of course, we got to thank the great Lalo Akras.
Lalo.
For put,